At Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high-quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby! Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniels and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. I'm your host, Tony Ruggiero. Thanks for sitting in. If you're passionate about the game of golf, you love the game of golf, whether you're a coach, a teacher, or a player, recreational golfer, touring professional, aspiring to get better, I think some of the information you're about to hear can help you. These are the conversations with the people that I meet, the coaches that I teach with that I find interesting, the caddies, the fitness experts, mental coaches, or players, or students that I meet in my journey to help all of you play better golf. And these are the conversations we have. They're authentic. They're real. You'll laugh. Some will make you think. All of it is designed to help you play better golf. I hope you enjoy these conversations. And if you like these, look, you can always go find more of our content, which is available for you on YouTube, on Dewsweeper TV. That's at Dewsweeper TV on YouTube. All of these, you can watch the video, but you can also watch some of our productions where you can watch us go one-on-one behind the scenes with a real player as we all work together to help people play their best. So check out Dewsweeper TV. Please keep listening to the Tour Coach here. I hope you like the conversations. I'm enjoying putting the stuff out, and I enjoy this journey helping all of you play better golf. And once again, though, none of this would be remotely possible without our long-term, long-time sponsors, especially Cleveland Srixon Golf, Mitch McConnell and McConnell Automotive, Buick GMC, Bushnell, Stokely's Midtown Garden Center, Taylor Martino and Rowan and Mobile, all of the great sponsors, and especially our new one, because there's going to be some fun nights ahead, Epic Western, tequila drink, coming at you live from Texas. So appreciate our sponsors. Appreciate all the people that sit and chat with me. And we're going to look forward to bringing you more tour coaches and more content as we help all of us play better golf there on Dewsweeper TV. All right. So joining me here on the Tour Coach, Nick Chertok. Been a fan of his for a while. He is not a golf professional, although he does reasonably, you know, he does a good impersonation of one. I want to hear the story. I've been wanting to hear this story, and it's very timely with the PGA show coming up in just a month. It's holiday time. And if the PGA show is open for him again, in which he's such a huge part of, and I kind of want to hear the story of that. So if you're a golf teacher or you're a golf nerd or a golf nut, this is going to be a great one for you. And Nick, thanks for taking the time to sit in. I know I'm sure you got lots of stuff going on this time of year that are important, but appreciate that. And I also appreciate all you do for my industry. I mean, bringing teachers together, giving them a chance to, you know, have a forum like you do at Open Forum. Also, as was what you do on Facebook with the golf teaching professionals, I think is fantastic.
You all, like I said before we came on the broadcast, you always keep it fair, but you know, there's lively banter and disagreements and stuff, but you do a good job kind of moderating that. So kudos to you. Thanks for all you do. And I'd love to pick up, like, how the heck did you go from what you do to getting so into this golf instruction space?
Yeah, I mean, I get asked that all the time. Thanks for having me on, Tony. And yeah, dear, we're right before Christmas, about 6 days out. I suppose it's time soon I should start buying some gifts for my family members. But it's a typical dad fashion. I have put it to the last minute, but that's one of the projects for tonight. It is kind of weird. I'm an accountant, and I've never been close to being a golf pro, and I'm an 11 index golfer, so I'm okay, but I'm certainly nothing special out there. But I got really hooked on just reading and trying to learn about instruction right from when I started playing, probably the late 90s. I would find like stacks of golf magazines that would be maybe at a library or somebody had. I was a lifeguard at a club, an indoor swim and tennis club up in the Northwest, and they had in a closet about 100 Golf Digest magazines. And I think I just got into that world of like, this is a great game for life. People of great success really enjoy this game, so of course wouldn't it be great to be good at it? But it seems like there's this huge effort made by people to improve at it. But watching over a few years, I came to believe that almost no one actually does. Like, it was an idea of improvement, and so trying to figure out why is it so challenging, and learning about getting into the physical side, learning about fitness and movement and biomechanics eventually. I mean, back in the 90s, there wasn't much out there science fitness-wise. That certainly didn't come about until maybe 15 years ago or so. But right. There was, like, if there was a book in the bookstore about how to play golf better, I certainly had at least stood there and try to read as much as I could without getting kicked out of the bookstore. That's kind of how I got my fascination going.
Yeah, but I think you know, my old mentor, he's passed away, Hank Johnson. He was, in a bunch of those Golf Digest magazines back in the day. But, you know, he had that belief as well that we, you know, golf instruction had grown. When I was early in my teaching with him, and he was beating the hell out of me every day trying to turn me into something decent. His belief was that, like, golf instruction, there were more golf teachers and there was, you know, all this info out there, but people weren't getting better at the game, and it drove him crazy. Yeah. I mean, it really did. And, you know, he got more into, you know, he was older at that time, but he was part of that Health South group in Birmingham that really started into the science of kind of going into 3D stuff and the golf. I mean, that was real primitive early days stuff, wires. But, you know, I remember, you know, in early in my teaching career, him explaining stuff. And, you know, that was on the front end of that. But what drove him was that people weren't getting better, like, couldn't figure out why are these people, wealthy people, flying in to spend time with them at these Golf Digest schools. And he said he'd see them a year later and they sucked just as bad as they did the year before. So I think that's an interesting question.
Yeah, somebody who's like a cardiac surgeon during the day, and then, like, they can't really even grip a club the way you're trying to show them and teach them. So sometimes it's fascinating to look at someone and say, well, what part of what they do is fixable quickly by a good pro, and what part of it is going to be like a long, torturous journey for them, and then they got to decide, are they going to try to go on that or not? And most people, probably the answer is not. So everyone kind of feels like they want to do the big swing change, right? They probably come to you and say, just, I want an overhaul, like, start me, just let's get rid of all my habits that I have. And so when I think the minute people realize that you're never going to get rid of in your brain, like what you've always done. I mean, at best, you're going to like create a new, I know Brett McCabe has some really good information on this, just creating this new possible pattern, but the old one's there. And like,
right.
you can't ever get away from that old one completely.
No. In fact, I've spent a bunch of time recently. I teach, you know, golf is such a cool sport. Some of the people we teach become influences on us, actually, like they're really brilliant in other fields. I met this Dr. Bonacore, who's a neurosurgeon and neuroscientist up in Philadelphia. He's a 12 handicap. He's a golf nerd. He just loves golf. And he came to me because he watched social media and he saw some of the shit I do with bands and different things. And he was fascinated about and I've become friends with him, and he's helped me explain how the brain works and how people learn, you know? And it's like kind of along the lines of what you were just talking about. Like, hey, if that's what you've always done, you have to do different things for your body to learn to move differently and different ways. And, you know, but along those lines, I mean, that's kind of going to where we started is why I found talking and getting to know him and being friends with him so interesting, because you wonder why. Like I remember there was this student I had early in my teaching career, and he was a wealthy real estate guy. So he was a big guy for me because he took a bunch of lessons and I was starving at the time. And, you know, I could get the guy to hit it perfectly solid, hitting like up to a 40-yard pitch shot. And I'd send him home doing a shitload of those, and I knew he did them. And he'd come back, and as soon as I added speed and size, it looked exactly the same as it always did. And I always bothered by that. Like, why couldn't I get that guy past the 40-yard pitch shot? And so, you know, that's kind of...
I have this theory about substitute movement patterns, compensations, and that for a mediocre golfer, I think they're harder to teach than a bad golfer who has more obvious, okay, if I do A, then I'll probably see this general change in the right direction, because the bad golfer is so far off, you can just push them, I think, and get some benefit. But with that 12 index or 20, somewhere in that range, I think they're pairing up compensations to the point where, yes, at slow speed, you can kind of get a new pattern going for them that can work. But once you have to add speed to the equation, I think the one of those other flaws that they have just comes back. And so there's some, like Butch Harmon would refer to it as like the cancer. What's the cancer in the swing? And I think everyone has that. For me, I tend to like slide a lot. Like I feel like at some point when I first went from being terrible to being able to kind of play a little bit, like get the club on the ball.
Yeah.
That whatever I learned to do that is what basically imprisons me, except for extreme measures taken. And I'm kind of an example. I mean, before any of the open forum is this live event we do every year, the night before the PGA show. For people who aren't familiar, we've done it 10 times. This is our 11th event coming up in a month or so. We're going to have it at the Hyatt. We always do it after demo day. It's kind of just squeezed in between demo day and the actual show, and started doing it with a guy, two other guys, Mike Michaelides from the forum early days. He was saying, hey, let's all get together, do something at this trade show in Orlando. And me, I hardly even was familiar with the PGA show, had never been before. And now I've been every year except for two COVID years, for like since 2013, I think was our first year. And then we immediately, Mike was like, should we bring in someone like who could be a notable coach, like a moderator, to, you know, someone who like also draw in some more bigger names. And I had gotten to know Chris Como a little bit at that time. Man, we're going way back. So he was pretty young, not really a known guy at all. I think he was living in Dallas at the time. And so he was definitely an up and comer, and he had maybe some, he might've been working with one or two tour guys, definitely had some like celebrity type students, like NHL guys and some other pro athletes I remember him working with. But we do the open forum. It came out of this Facebook group that you've referred to. So a lot of people listening, if you're a golf pro, you may be on it. We have you know, plenty of topics, debates, and I think what makes it different is I'm pretty lax on rules. I like to see smart people who disagree on something debate and discuss it and not censored, unless, you know, we need to keep things somewhat civilized, but I'm fairly loose with the moderation. So I think it allowed people to feel like they can express themselves. Some people don't like it. That's fine. A lot of those people go to the open forum. They like the open forum. They don't like the Facebook forums, but the reach of being able to just get a message out there, like even just telling people the forum's happening. If I didn't have the Facebook groups, I don't know how I would get all that word out. So it's really good for that, and good for young pros to come in and like look through the archives of old threads, search some topics, because almost everything has already been talked about. And that's part of probably why over time it becomes factually less interesting, because people have already beaten to death a lot of different topics. And so the louder people will talk more, the people who are smarter and more reserved will leave or just stop posting. If they might still do some lurking. So there's the Facebook golf teaching pro group, and there's also the golf biomechanist group. And so that, you don't have to be a pro to be in that one. And it's definitely more toward the physics side and the fitness and the anatomy and anything that you can think of that that relates to golf science or biomechanics specifically.
So let's talk about an open forum. I mean, I was fortunate. One year I sat up there, I think it was a junior golf forum or a junior golf section that was on there. I know Rob Holding was there. I can't remember exactly who else, it was a lively discussion, but I thought
Rich Franklin, talking about like his, because he's got a unique perspective with Discover Golf, very different from like traditional junior golf instruction.
Yeah. And maybe James Hong, could I be right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's right. So it was a good group. And I encourage all, like, I think if you're a young teacher listening to this, like, I think it's one of the best opportunities out there to go not only get great information, but like we talked about before, you know, starting to record this, to actually meet some of the people that you could say are the brightest minds, the biggest names, and some of the biggest, most influential people in our industry are there. And I mean, there's not a lot of businesses and places where if you're starting out in a career, you have the opportunity to go shake hands, meet somebody. And like you said, you know, from go from DMing somebody to ask, you can come observe them, to standing in front of them, shaking their hand and picking their brain a little bit.
Yeah, it's a great networking opportunity. So definitely if you're a younger pro, go there and go shake hands. And if you see someone that you've always admired, everyone's able to now broadcast, because most people listening probably have their own Instagram channel. So there's going to be a lot of pros that you see, instructors that in your world are kind of semi-celebrities. So it's a great chance to see a bunch of those people packed in to a pretty small space. We usually have somewhere between 300 and 450 that are at the open forum. You know, it can go up and down depending on what's going on in the main presentation room. This year we'll be at the Hyatt, so we'll have a sponsor room, kind of like a party room right next to the presentation room. So hopefully that'll be where people will choose to hang out. You can never really control where people go, because they'll just go down the halls at these hotels. You're free to roam around. And so for the sponsor's sake, we want everyone to gel and hang out in that room. And hey, you're invited, Tony. If you want to do some podcasting out of that sponsor room, you're more than welcome. You the ability to rope in someone for a quick interview, it's almost like the Super Bowl radio row for golf instruction.
I will for sure take you up on that. And I'm playing golf that day in Palm Beach. And then I planned on driving up that afternoon to be in there that evening. I was actually going to get with you. I would like to attend. So I will for sure would love to be there and do that. And how did you
make sure? Don't register. You're VIP. You're on the list now. You're my guest.
Oh my gosh. Now I actually do feel like I've arrived in this industry. Now I feel like I'm how did it go from Michael Michaelides and you? You guys have this idea. It started, obviously, like everything good, it starts small, you know, and you know Como, you kind of get him involved. But what were the next steps? Like, and what were some of the big moments along the way where you thought, shit, this is getting traction? Like, right?
Yeah. You know? Yeah, that's a great question. Open Forum 1, for those who were there, I mean, if you were listening and you were at the first Open Forum, you remember that, you know, it was chaos, just pure, totally unplanned. There was really no structure to it. We did have, there was a film crew there. I think it was through Chris, a guy he knew in the Dallas area who had a channel who was kind of behind that. But I showed up not even really knowing what was going on, but I was getting mic'd up. And we really did not do much planning of the first Open Forum. I was essentially, because I had the Facebook forums were really hot at the time. I mean, there was a lot of activity in, mm-hmm. we're going back to like 2013. So it wasn't hard initially to say, hey, how many of all the members of the group at the time, maybe there was 5,000. Certainly there was going to be, you know, 20% of them were going to be at the PGA show. And of that, maybe another 20% would come hang out. And so we said, we're going to do this thing at Metro West. Costs were really minimal. Metro West, they were happy to just have the business. And so there was no kind of fee. We had no, this was not like a hotel ballroom situation. We had initially lapel mics where I would kind of walk around and try to ask a question and get someone to speak into the mic, but they had to speak within about a foot of my face because the mic was attached to me. So somewhat of a disaster, but then at the end of the night, I mean, a lot of cool stuff happened. Like I met within an hour for the first time I met in person, Phil Cheatham, Rob Neal, Sasho, a bunch of people I'm now really close friends with, like the golf scientist guys, they had not really hung out. I mean, there had been something called the Anti-Summit that Brian and Finney kind of handled.
I've heard about that. I didn't go to that. I've never been to that, but I've heard about that.
Yeah, I think that definitely predates Open Forum, but probably the only thing kind of similar where you're trying to get all the golf pros in, mashed in with some PhD biomechanists. Also, let's throw in some sports psychology experts. Also, maybe someone we can get from the motor learning space. And also, there's the fitness people. So the TPI people at the time. And let's also get people from different camps who are very, a little bit more like set in their ways. And let's get them all in the same room together. I mean, I don't care if someone was, you know, a Stack and Tilt or a Morad or you know, McLean, Ledbetter, Butch Haney, background influence, Hank Haney, you know, there's so many certifications within the world of golf. And to me, if I encounter someone and they say, yeah, I've studied this or that, I don't really judge whether do I agree with that or not. I more see them as they want to learn and they're a curious person. So I want them to be like in this circle that we're trying to create of people who that's share ideas with each other. I mean, you have like a world that's turning towards people being separated, and there's a lot of less social cohesion, friendship, loneliness is on the rise everywhere. And anything we could do to make someone feel like, oh, there's someone else who kind of, they teach the same thing I do, and they do it in a similar way, but they know some things that I don't know. And I really would love to be able to talk to them. And now we become friends, and maybe we would have never met. We live 2,000 miles away, but through this network, we can connect. So that's probably the biggest thing we want to do for the Open Forum is just provide a center way of curious golf coaches to connect with each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for that. I think the first place I ever met Rob Holding, I was on Facebook, or not met, just can't say you met somebody on Facebook, but like was through your group on Facebook. And then at the Open Forum, I think it was the first time I ever met him, you know, face to face. And I've had him on my podcast before and follow him closely. And it was a cool thing. I think that's one of the cool things about what you do with that. Kind of fast forward into this year. What are some of,
I was telling you about the first Open Forum.
Oh yeah.
We had a couple of big milestones I can hit on. I mean,
please.
Open Forum 3 was the first real event. And I had done a lot of work leading up to that one. So much
was
happening. That was at Rosen Plaza.
Yes.
That was when Dr. Kwan presented. I would say almost no one in the room had ever seen Dr. Kwan present anything, and maybe they had seen some stuff that had been posted in the Golf Biomechanist Forum. Because for a time, that's where like a lot of the topics that are now kind of mainstream within instruction, they were not mainstream at all like 10 years ago. And so there were, I would say there's now been probably thousands of people that have gone to listen to Kwan and get certified and go through extensive, you know, his information is quite in depth, and it would take you multiple weeks, or even there's people at the university are studying it for years to fully understand all this stuff. But he gave a talk at the beginning of Open 3. Como had just started teaching Tiger Woods. All this was kind of happening all at once, that we were elevating the event, where at the same time, to me, golf instruction was being elevated as well. And so we kind of wanted to highlight that. It was very biomechanics heavy. Like if you went and you just peeked in the room, you would assume that it was more of a sports science type of event. And we got a little heat for that. And probably the same at Open Forum 2, where we had 4 biomechanists present back to back. And then we just had 2 kind of big meandering panels with no structure. But we started doing more applied science. Like we wanted more presentations from golf coaches, and also hitting different topics over time. I mean, we've done panels on stats, motor learning multiple times, different sports psychology panels that we've had multiple years of that. There's been kind of like future of instruction as a topic. Junior golf, you were on that. We did that one time. We've had short game, like last year, having, you know, if I can find like a really hot topic, kind of a trending topic, a big debate where we've got 2 strong people on different sides who maybe they're going to like have a really interesting exchange. That's what we tried to set up last year with the short game thing. I think it was okay, but it's just so difficult to get an actual quality debate to happen live, unscripted like that. I mean, I don't think people understand how hard it is. And so what usually happens is it never even comes close to it, because the people running the event want to keep things pretty strict and be safe. We err more the opposite side, where let's try not to stop anyone from talking. Let's try to see what comes about organically. And with that, you have a lot of shit to wade through usually. You know, you have like a lot of wasted effort, people talking past each other. But, you know, that's our job, is to try to like make some magic out of the whole live experience, have some friendly, civilized disagreement that comes about naturally through someone, you know, giving their idea of something. And we want someone to be able to just go right to the audience. Like, I prefer interactive presentations where that can happen. And sometimes people just shout things out, and sometimes the presenters like that they shouted it out and they can immediately just roll with it. and we have Big Mike to make sure that nothing ever gets out of hand.
Nobody's going to, if anybody messes with him, they're crazy, because that is big. What this year, who do we have on tap? What's tell us about this year.
Can't say. Sorry. I'll tell you the reason is the planning has to be done fairly last minute for one. Just, I have a whole career aside from this. This isn't really a business that much for me. It's more of a love and a hobby. Yeah. And also, once I start planning, it kind of takes over my brain. Like when I'm trying to sleep, it's just what I'm thinking about. So if that lasted 4 months, I don't think I'd do it anymore. So it gets compressed at the end, and we have to be able to call audibles. We have to be able to adjust. And I do not want to have to tell someone, hey, you're booked, especially not announce it to other people and then have to pull them off. So what I'll tell you is you're always going to get some effort to have expertise on the swing mechanics, instruction, biomechanics side. Like, you're always going to see content around that. Mm-hmm. And then where we go with some additional kind of maybe more diverse topic that we're going to try to always have something fresh that we haven't done before. So someone that we haven't heard speak before, I might kick myself later, because I don't like to trap myself in making promises either. But I really try hard to never have an open forum where everybody who presents, people can say, oh, I've heard them before at event. And at least when we have the panels, there's the opportunity to always insert and have new opinions in there, new people. But, year number 11, you're going to end up definitely going back to the well, because there's so many really great minds out there who are constantly thinking of new ways to kind of express what they've learned, and they're just off learning new stuff. I mean, you've got PhDs studying, trying to like advance this field. I think golf science is in its absolute infancy right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we really know all that much that's useful to a pro yet. Like, there's good stuff out there compared to what's coming. I think what we've learned now isn't all that much. We're just
And I think even if you have somebody that spoke before, I mean, the same, obviously there's lots of repeat people been there before, but there's also lots of new young teachers coming up that are going for their first time that may not have heard Chris or somebody. Right. And I think it's important to keep that in mind. And, if you've heard so-and-so talk and you've got the sponsors bar you can go out to and you don't want to, and you go mingle and then come back in and see what you want to see. I think that's a great format. And, I'm excited about it. I appreciate being on the VIP list. Now, I really do feel like.
Keep that on the down low. I don't want anyone knowing except the listeners of this show.
So three people. So three people are going to know. Me, you, my mom probably, or my
wife.
And my wife. No, my wife wouldn't listen to this. Hell no. If she heard I hadn't bought any Christmas gifts, I'd be in the shitter. But anyways.
Don't let my wife. That's an exaggeration. Yeah, I'm halfway done.
Yeah, halfway done. Nick, thanks for taking the time. But two, more importantly, thanks for all you do for our profession, for my profession. I know you're an accountant by trade, but you've done a lot for our profession. And looking forward to seeing you in January there at the PGA show and having some taping some content and having some fun.
All right, man. I appreciate you having me on. You've got a spot. We'll figure out where we're going to put you in the room. You're going to be in there with sponsors who I have not even yet booked yet, but there'll be companies all around you. And perfect. Then it'll be good to see you out there in Orlando. And
sounds great.
Your audience. Anybody who's interested in signing up, www.openforumgolf.com, that you can register now. The program will come when it's ready. In the past, it's come out fairly close to the event. Mm-hmm. And so people just have to bear with me and trust that we'll put on a good show for them. But we'll get it out. Maybe we can do it by the end of the year. We'll see.
And if it's okay with you, when I send this out to all our teachers in the golf coach development, we'll send a link for people to sign up and do all that, so we can get that in front of them, as well as when we put the podcast out. We'll make sure that that's out there so people can sign up.
Yeah. So the home, go to the homepage. There'll be, there's this big banner across the top about the live event for this year. Cause on that website, you can buy videos, some yeah. videos from older events, but pretty clear where to go. $100 in advance, $125 the night of. So if you want to go, make sure to register ahead of time.
Sounds great. Nick, thanks for the time. Appreciate all you do. Look forward to catching up down there at Open Forum.
Right on, Tony. Take care, man.
See you, brother. Yeah. Bye.